Okay, John, you want to kick it off then?
Hey, good morning, everybody. I will call the Capital Region Council of Governments Cost Review Subcommittee meeting for Monday, November 16, 2020 to order and ask Karen to do the roll call.
Good morning, everyone. Please note that you're automatically muted and please unmute to let me know that you're in attendance. I'm going to start off with the City of Hartford.
Sandy Fry.
City of New Britain.
Rob Trottier here.
Town of Handover. Town of Avon. Town of Berlin. Town of Bloomfield.
John Coleman here.
And Jonathan Tesi is also here.
Thank you. Town of Bolton. Town of Canton. Columbia. Coventry. Town of East Hartford.
Doug Wilson here.
Town of East Windsor. Town of Ellington. Town of Blue Enfield. Town of Farmington. Town of Glastonbury. Town of Granby. Town of Hebron. Town of Manchester. Town of Marlborough. Town of Newton.
I'm here.
Is that Peter? Is that Peter?
Yes, it is, Karen. Okay,
thank you. Town of Newington. Town of Plainville. Town of Rocky Hill.
James Salmi here.
Town of Simsbury. Town of Somers. Town of South Windsor. Town of Southington. Town of Suffield. Town of Tolland. Town of Vernon. Town of West Hartford. Town of Wethersfield. Willington.
Derek Greger here.
Willington. Town of Windsor.
Bob Jarvis here.
Adam Kessler here.
Thank you. Town of Windsor Locks. We don't have a quorum, John, but I don't think we do. We need a quorum for a subcommittee.
No,
Karen. I'm sorry. This is Patrice Carson from Bolton. I'm here now. I don't know if you called earlier.
Yes, I did. Thank you.
And Karen, Jeff Doolittle with South Windsor is here. I don't know if you were able to get him, but he's on mute. So I don't know if you can unmute yourself, Jeff.
Yeah, I did ask them to unmute themselves. So.
Okay.
Thank you.
It seems like he's talking, but we can't hear him.
You may want to call on the phone line, Jeff, separately.
I think I see Newington in the list, too.
Thanks, Rob.
Gary? Is there anybody else that we missed?
Gary also seems muted, and I don't know if he can unmute himself or not.
Well, I guess we're ready to go.
Okay, John.
Thank you, Karen.
You're welcome.
Welcome again, everybody. Public forum, is there anyone here from the public that wishes to address the committee? Anyone on the Zoom? Hearing none, we'll move on to adoption of the minutes of our meeting held way back on April 20, 2020. I'd entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
Patrice Carson, so moved.
Thank you, Patrice. Is there a second?
James.
Say again.
Lee, second.
Who seconded?
Wow, am I on?
Yeah, it's Jim Solney.
Okay.
Thank you, Jim.
Okay.
Any additions, corrections, changes, modifications? Hearing none, all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. They are approved unanimously. Karen, we'll move on to item number four, which is the lots of project scope modification for the Bloomfield Blue Hills Complete Streets Phase 1 project. Satoria?
Thank you, John. I appreciate that. And there was a memo that was included in your packet regarding the scope change request modification for the town of Bloomfield. It was Blue Hills Avenue Complete Streets Phase 1 project. So this was a project, and this was without, I should mention, this is without any type of revisions to the funding amount. So the project was approved under 2018, lots of solicitation, and it was approved as a standalone project for $939,600. Based on comments from public information meeting in August of 2020, we kind of alluded to this at the last meeting, the town of Bloomfield is requesting a scope change modification. Based on that, in that meeting, that informational meeting, they would like to add additional elements to create a more robust complete streets project. And in order to do it, the funding, they want to work within the existing funding allocation. So that would require a reduction of the scope limits from 1700 to 1100 linear feet. The additional elements that they're requesting to add would improve safety and offer a more welcoming environment to pedestrians, to transit, to bicycle users. And those items would include granite curbing, decorative lighting, brick snow shelf, buffered bike lanes, and it's also centered in an area where it's more densely populated. The granite curbing is going to be considered a standard in the town of Bloomfield under their Complete Streets Master Plan and their design guidelines. So, and then it also accommodates better for the brick snow shelf for maintenance and installation. So the new limits will be from the City of Hartford line to Elizabeth Avenue. And you can kind of see that in the diagram that was provided in the memo. And the area of the reduced scope was originally between Britton Avenue and Elizabeth Avenue, and that includes a large cemetery and a single industrial site. So they, the town feels that would be minimal impact to the entire project. So staff recommends the committee approval. This is a formality because CONDOT does require approval of a scope change modification. But the staff recommends a committee approval of the lots at Bloomfield, Blue Hills Complete Streets Phase 1 project scope modification, which would provide additional complete streets elements, reducing the scope, the project limits from 1,700 to 1,100 linear feet.
Thank you, Satoria. Any comments that Jonathan, you want to make?
Oh, no, I think Satoria has summed it up quite well. I guess I would just, you know, say that was, there was an expectation from our public of full complete streets, but the way the project developed, we really were not able to propose that. And the feedback, as Satoria said, the feedback from our public information session was that the public strongly desired, you know, some more enhanced complete streets improvements in the area.
Any questions from members of the committee?
Move approval.
Thank you, Peter. Is there a second?
I'll second, Jim.
Thank you, Jim. Any further any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. It's unanimous, Karen. Thank you very much, all. And we'll move on to item number five, which is the LOTSEP project delivery metrics and discussion thereof. Rob and Satoria.
Yeah, thanks, John. If you recall, at the prior meeting, staff was directed to take a closer look at project delivery of LOTSEP projects and the metrics that surround that. Previously, we had looked in, we were mainly tracking the between commitment to fund and authorization to award solely, which was mainly the design phase of the project, which our towns are mostly involved in. But it'd be better to break that up and track it more holistically, including the application phase and kind of separating out the bidding phase. So that is what we did in the attached memo. There's a chart that Satoria will go over that explains kind of what we found. And then following that, we have recommendations for how we might improve the process. There's also been discussions regarding whether or not there should be legislative changes to the program. So we want to bring that up for a robust discussion. So there's a number of recommendations to either work within the existing framework or to take a look at legislative actions that would potentially modify how the program operates. So that's what we want to present to you today, where things are, how quickly or slowly projects are being delivered, and how we might want to improve upon that. So with that said, I'll turn it over to Satoria and she can explain what we found. And as you see on the screen, the graphic here, I think, is pretty telling also. Thanks.
Thanks, Rob. So if you can look at the graph and notice that it provides you with a number of projects, and it's also broken down by phase. It's actually in months and also fiscal year, and it also provides the number of employees that were available to review the projects at CONDOT. So just a few highlights that we'd like to provide to you. The increases in the project durations were a result of program growth from 2015 to 2018. And during that time, there was temporary freeze on commitment to fund letters, as some of you may have recalled. And also there was CONDOT staff turnover, and there was actually insufficient CONDOT staff staffing expansion during that time. So that is one of the reasons for the increases in the project durations during that time period. Since that time, there has been a decrease in project timelines since the peak of 2018. We hope, and CROG staff anticipates, that these trends will continue. Due to the, if you look on the right, there's actually three CONDOT staff at this point in time. So because of the staffing levels increasing, we're hoping that the trends will continue to, for the timelines will decrease. And during the application phase, there was a decrease from a high of 10 months in the 2018 peak time. And during that time, the application or the amount of projects in the application phase have nearly doubled. So we've been fortunate to have a number of projects during that time go through the application phase. Design durations have decreased from 27 to 20 months. And in the past, we have provided that information to the committee as far as the average amount of time for design. And then the bidding phase durations have consistently ranged, not every time, but average from 2 to 3 months throughout the program's history. So we do have some recommendations that were a result of this, and Rob's going to go over those.
Okay, and one thing I want to point out about the chart is in the white numerical numbers that are inside the chart, that represents the number of projects that passed through that phase, not the number of months. So to figure out the number of months, you really have to just look at the axes of the graph and not the numbers within the colored portions of the bar chart. So if we go, Mike, do you have the next page on here, or is this the sole page that we have?
I think this is the sole page. Let me check.
Okay. So in the memo, if you looked at the memo, we have a number of recommendations that we think could improve performance, or that we should implement to try to improve performance. One is, I think if you look at the chart, definitely the 2 years, 2018 and 2020, you have around 10 months in the application phase, which we feel is too long. I think what we should do is meet with CONDOT, get your feedback too as to what a reasonable time frame would be for the application phase. Now that deals with CONDOT's reviews, but it also deals with the town's, you know, implementing any comments CONDOT has and turning that around. So a lot of times the ball's in various courts during that time frame. But, you know, we have seen in other years, you know, below 5 months. So I think that's a much more reasonable time frame than 10 months. So I think we should strive for lowering or shrinking that application phase down. I think that 10 months is way too long for that application phase. So one of our comments is to continue monitoring these metrics, report them out periodically, possibly every quarter with the quarterly reviews, so that we can keep track of what's going on and make sure that things are, or maybe annually, because we do look at these annually, and probably things don't move too much on a quarterly basis, but we should report back to you guys on a regular basis as to what's going on with these timelines. Secondly, we should create some performance metrics as to how long we expect each phase to take and strive to achieve those. And whether or not that means, you know, reporting out on projects that have exceeded these by a certain amount or something like that might be helpful in trying to contain these. But some kind of metric and some kind of expectation for each phase, I think, would be good to set. Third, we want to continue pre-screening these. Basically, we ran into an issue with a project being determined ineligible after over a year in CONDOT's review. And that was very problematic. So this latest solicitation, we did pre-screen with CONDOT before CROG approved them. We sent a number of applications over to CONDOT for them to make sure that they felt that they were eligible just as we did. So hopefully that ineligibility issue will be headed off sooner, or we can revise a project before it's determined ineligible. So that was another thing that we've implemented in the last solicitation. And a renewed focus on communicating with you and the department on just these metrics. I guess that's inherent in these other measures that we just discussed. We also have requested regular staff level meetings with CONDOT to go over the program on a more regular basis. Right now, we do that annually. We think it should be quarterly. So Satori has been setting up initially those kind of meetings. And that wasn't as big of a problem pre-COVID, but now that there's COVID, I think we need these new, protocols. And finally, we wanted to discuss with the committee whether or not any legislative action is in order. I know there has been a thought that maybe the COG should take over the program, take it a little bit more out of CONDOT's hands, There are pluses and minuses. There's concerns that I have about highlighting this program in front of the legislature with any legislative changes, that you might be shining a spotlight on a large funding source in a time of fiscal uncertainty, which could be dangerous. I don't know how the whole entire group feels about the program, how it's operating, whether the tweaks, just tweaks are necessary, or some kind of whole scale legislative action. So that's something we definitely want to have a discussion on. So those were the bullet points, and we've reserved quite a bit of time for everybody to talk to those. What you think is good, what you think is bad, what you think we can do differently, and definitely on the legislative front, what your feelings are. So with that said, I'd like to, you know, have an open discussion on these. Thanks.
All right, Peter, you want to start it off?
Thank you, John. Rob was at a meeting we had with Senator Olmstead, Commissioner, and there were a couple other people. I couldn't catch your name because I was having some audio issues. Out of that meeting, the one thing we did get, I hope, is the quarterly meetings. That's a must to me. The issue of non-communication is the thrust of everything that we all deal with. And I think at least quarterly meetings can keep us on track. As far as timelines, the 10 months, the 8 months, this is, to me, this is legislative. If we're going to talk legislation, it's about taking the federal requirements out. That's what I would look at. And Senator Olmstead said there wasn't a lot of appetite, but in her second breath, she said it might not be bad to have as a second tier legislative item, just to keep them knowing that we're looking at it. But the delivery timelines on their part are key, and that's where they've got to make a commitment to change. Not just in the pre-application process and application process, but when you submit a 100% design plan to them, you're ready to go out to bid. It took us, in our two applications, one COVID, one non-COVID, 8 weeks to get comments on a 100% plan. And then it's another 4 to 6 weeks till you authorize the bid, and that's where we're getting the 3 months on that end. They need to commit to review 100% plans right away. And that was part of the discussion we had with Senator Olmstead. You know, the other half of this legislation is jobs. Keeping construction moving and construction season. You know, we're all missing construction season because we're getting these delays. So if they could commit to prioritizing 100% submission reviews on that back end, why we need PAL agreements for each project is another delay, because again, it has to go up their signature chute and down. So, you know, that can take 3 or 4 weeks. So there are things they can do administratively to change this, but if it's all tied to the legislation and they have to do it that way, and that's been the response Hugh Hayward has given me on everything we've talked to him about, then, you know, you have to look at those processes. Because we're doing our job. We're squeezing down the engineering. And a lot of us do engineering before we get the commitment to fund letter, because it does take so long, because we need to get the projects moving. So if they could commit to their processes changes, I think that would move the program along greatly. You know, we've been in 8 years. We're not going backwards. I don't think the legislature is ever going to change us back, because they all like it and we all get our monies. So that's my two cents.
Thank you, Peter. Someone else? Anyone else have some comments?
Todd Wilson. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh. Go ahead.
Oh, you're doing the hand raise thing. I'll wait.
No, go ahead, Todd.
No, I was going to say Todd Penny sent me an email. He could not attend the meeting because this is notorious, because he had a problem. So I just wanted to say what he had mentioned, if that's okay.
Go ahead.
He said, I think the program's working. I think there are times when conduct can do better. I think at times the munis can be better. But now under the current budget crisis, it's not time to make demands of conduct. That's what he said.
Okay, next. Who wants to go next?
Gloria.
Doug Wilson. Go ahead.
Yep.
So two things. One is, I remember before we had PALS, how long it used to take to get a full contract through DOT. So we definitely can't go backwards, even though it takes several weeks to get signatures. The PALS are phenomenally better than what we used to have. It used to take 6 months to get, 6 months, a year to get agreements. The problem with a lot of the projects is that they're on state roads. So it's not so much the fact that it's lots of funding, it's that the state says, wait a minute, you're touching our asset. So then they want to look at it in greater detail again, and it starts bringing back more of the old reviews again. So we're essentially taking bond money that's supposed to come out and go to town roads and recycling it back to state roads, and then the state gets more involved because of that, and I think that lengthens a lot of things.
Okay. Next, anyone else?
Yeah, I have a question.
Jim?
Have you seen any positive movement of pre-screening? Is that something making it efficient? And also, I mean, the staffing, three people involved instead of the one, long time, that should improve the efficiency as well, I would think.
We're hoping it does. So far, Satoria, that staff person has only been on about maybe 6 months now. Would they come in at the, according to the chart here, it looks like the end of fiscal year 2020, mm-hmm. which was probably April or so?
May. Victoria? He came in May. Vitaly, yeah. So he came in May. And Jim, to answer part of your question, I have seen a better response from conduct as far as even just answering emails and responding to questions that I have regarding projects. I just started reviewing projects for the solicitation, doing the pre-reviewing. And so we'll see how long it takes for commitment to fund letters. I think the quarterly meetings or just the communication will probably help, and we can keep the committee apprised of how well or not well we're doing with that. But I think that would probably be the key. If I pick out maybe 2, 3, or 4 projects that I want to meet with Conda and discuss specifically, maybe the delays in those specific projects, I think would be helpful, because had we had that previously, I think that would have been a little more helpful in Peter's situation.
I think your question, going back to quarterly meetings or more frequently, the efficiency even more. I'd be surprised during the pre-screening of these projects, especially if it's a state highway, where they take any responsibility for saying, yeah, this is a good project. It's one of the things, nobody is there, say, oh, great project. Nobody wants to get in trouble over there for saying something out of line. So we need the right people there to make those decisions.
They did provide some detailed information regarding a few of the projects that we sent to them for the pre-screening. And so they didn't say whether they would be good or bad projects, but they did provide information that they normally would have provided once the project is submitted, like for pavement design units or traffic units. So one project specifically that did impact a state road, they did provide detailed information on it. So I think that might be a little more helpful to the town, so they're getting the information now rather than later. Might be helpful to the town. We'll see.
And I think our main purpose of the pre-screening is, for one, the most major one is to make sure it's eligible and that we don't get a surprise down the line. The other would be any super major comments, not getting into the details, but any real game-changing comments. So that was kind of, other than if we have them get into too much detail, they're going to be into months of pre-screening, So they were fairly responsive and they got back to us before we selected the projects, and none of them were ineligible, luckily. And I don't think we needed to make any major changes on any, did we, Satoria?
There were a few things that weren't eligible that were
pieces of projects.
Pieces of projects that were considered non-participating. And there were some, pieces of projects that we kind of thought weren't to, but we needed confirmation.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, Rob?
So I just wanted to say I agree with Doug. When you have a project that touches a state road, the encroachment permit process can really slow you down. We've got a project right now that touches Route 71. And we're just adding ped ramps. I mean, it's an improvement to the state road, like it always is. And we've been waiting 7-8 months for the encroachment permit to come through. It's been ridiculous, and it's a minor change to the state road. But trying to get somebody in traffic to review the project has been almost impossible. Not to mention with DOT, working almost entirely from home. You can't call anyone, so you can't get immediate responses. It's basically email only, or leave a voicemail and hope they call you back. So it's been difficult. The other thing I wanted to say, other than the delays during the initial approval process, the LOTSIT program has definitely worked well for us. I mean, we have projects. Both lots of projects and projects that are administered by DOT MSAT. And, you can't even compare the two. The amount of time suck the MSAT team requires, I mean, all of the red tape, just getting them to approve change orders can take months. And you don't get paid for that money until their change order is approved. I've had 10-year-old projects that they haven't closed out and that have held up, hundreds of thousands of dollars in reimbursement to the city. So we would never want to go in that direction back to the SDP urban for sure. Getting the money up front is the way to go and just justify your expenses for the audit. That works really well. So just wanted to put my two cents in on that.
Anybody else?
I think for the encroachment permit process, that has been a continuing problem. I totally agree with you there. I think that would be one of the things that we could discuss at the meetings with CONDOT and just say, hey, could you look into this? Because, that is a continuing problem.
And to be clear, it's generally not, because I have good communication with the district. It's generally when they have to send the review up to Newington that bottlenecks the project. Then you don't know necessarily who's reviewing it or how to get in touch with them. I mean, we ultimately do, but it still takes forever. Still can take forever.
Well, the head of traffic over there is Mark Carlino, who should be a friendly voice and responsive to this to us. So maybe if I give Mark a call, we can make some inroads there and coordinate with Hugh on that too.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Other comments?
I have one, I guess. This is Jonathan TC. And I just wanted to echo, I guess, what both Doug and Rob said, and just kind of point out that while they're obviously, you know, anything on a state road and getting the encroachment permits is an issue, we have had instances here already where, you know, just getting Hughes Group involved can help a lot with dealing with that side of the DOT. And I'd hate to give that up, you know, to not have a lots of presence at DOT, I think would make that process even worse. So I don't think we should give that up.
Yeah, I agree, John.
Anyone else? Well, my observation.
John, this is Gary Furstenberg. Can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
Hey, John. Yeah, my first Lotzer project was in 2018. The 10-month application process is pretty consistent. It was just a little frustrating for us. Again, we get comments back. We'd respond, you know, that day or the next day. And then our response would go, it seems like you would go to the bottom of the inbox until it surfaced to the top again, you know, a month or 6 weeks later. That process was almost like clockwork, really. The timing the timing of response to comments in the application phase. That's all I got.
Thank you. Anybody else?
John, just one more. When I was talking about getting rid of the PALs, I was talking to going more like the connectivity program. They send you an email. Go do your project. 7 days, not 7 weeks. I agree. We don't want to go backwards, but you know, that's all I meant on that issue.
That's true. They're pushing that program pretty quickly.
My observations are one that obviously communications is really key, and we need to be on top of that and to really stay in almost constant contact with CONDOT, because that seems to get their attention. I think there are opportunities, in my opinion, to significantly reduce the time on the design side, both potentially at both the state and the municipal side. It seems to me that's where the biggest lag tends to be. And thirdly, and probably the most difficult, is I think that we need to see if we can find a way to get CONDOT to begin to do their reviews concurrently, as opposed to in succession, so that we can get more than one division reviewing the project simultaneously, as opposed to passing it around to 13, 14 people over time, which seems to have a major effect on delaying the response. But I would come back to the initial. I think it's critical that through CROG and its efforts, that we really pursue continual and timely conversations and contact with CONDOT, because I think that over time will have the most significant effect. I would agree at this point. I think that it's probably not the wisest, Peter, to pursue legislation per se, particularly in this upcoming session, but it's certainly something that we may want to keep obviously on the back burner. And if we're not successful in other ways, then we may have to pursue it. But I would personally suggest that would be a last resort approach. Better to keep those politicians out of the mix and see if we can do it on the administrative, technical, professional side.
I agree. I mean, if they could, just as previous person said, you submit a response, it doesn't go to the bottom of the pile. If it's 100% submission, it gets a little priority because you're going out to bid. I mean, if they can do that, I mean, the program's 100,000 times better than STD Urban. It's just, it can get better, that's all.
We hear you. And we agree. Anybody else? Rob and Satoria, you got a general consensus that we love the program. We just want it to work better. and more efficiently so that we can deliver the projects to our constituents.
Definitely, and we'll work towards that end for sure.
Any other business? If not, we can take a, looks like about a 15-minute hiatus and then reconvene. I assume we will get off this Zoom and go on to the full committee Zoom at noon.
John, it's the same Zoom.
Say again? It's the same Zoom?
Same Zoom. Yep.
You could either
pause ourselves then?
Yeah, you can pause if you want or log back in if you want. Either way.
I'll make a motion to adjourn then, John. Patrice.
Thank you, Patrice. Colin, is there a second? Somebody second it.
I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We'll see you in 15 minutes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm just going to mute and leave it up.